Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. When you hear the term times of refreshing, what comes to your mind? Today is May 1st, and in many parts of our world, that means school is nearing its end and summer vacations may soon begin. In the part of the world where I live, sweet iced tea provides welcome times of refreshing on a hot, humid day. Today, let's rejoin an amazing, spontaneous celebration in Jerusalem as Peter calls a crowd and a dancing cripple to consider times of refreshing. The story is found in Acts chapter 3 in the Bible. As you may recall, this cripple, who had normally sat at the beautiful gate begging, was suddenly healed by the power of God when Peter said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Acts chapter 3, verse 6. The cripple reached out his hand, and Peter helped him stand for the first time in his life, and soon he was dancing and praising God. As we've seen in the past 2 days, Peter gave a very clear and concise explanation of how this man was healed. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Acts 3, verse 16. Over the past few days, we've considered various elements of this very important declaration by Peter. In their astonishment, Peter had taken the opportunity to remind the people of their complicity in the death of Jesus. Peter said, "You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer, Barabbas, be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this." It should not be difficult to place ourselves in this crowd and feel the conflict of emotions. Those of great joy, seeing the miracle of a God-healed cripple, and also the conviction of Peter's words accusing them of their involvement in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Peter likely paused, just letting the Holy Spirit work as a deep soul reflection was taking place. Finally, Peter spoke again. "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer." Acts 3, 17 and 18. While I'm sure the crowd appreciated what seemed to be Peter's mercy regarding their complicity, this idea that God would allow Israel's Messiah to suffer was a very difficult concept for them to consider. It seemed only logical that if God would send his Messiah to help his people, then surely God would protect that Messiah, and he would usher in great times of restoration for the kingdom of Israel, perhaps like back to the glory days of King Solomon. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Sadly, then as now, most Jews disregarded one of the most powerful chapters written by one of their most revered prophets, Isaiah. Do you know the chapter? It's Isaiah 53, and there God spoke with graphic detail about the suffering his Messiah would endure. In fact, Isaiah 53, verse 4 says, "He took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." Do you notice those harsh words that it was actually God's plan that the Messiah would suffer greatly, bearing the sins of our world? Furthermore, God the Father led his Son into that time of brutal suffering, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 23, and Matthew 26. The most gruesome part of the crucifixion of Jesus, the Son of God, was when God the Father placed upon Jesus, his Son, the full weight of the rebellious, immoral, vile sins of our world. And then God the Father poured out his justice wrath upon that sin as Jesus bore our sins, 1 Peter 2, verse 24. In that experience, Jesus became our atonement sacrifice, paying the full sin-death price for all humanity. Jesus, God the Son, experienced the darkness of separation from God his Father due to the sins he bore, our sins. This was beyond reasonable, beyond anything the Jewish people in the crowd that day could comprehend. But Peter wanted them to hear God's hope. So the Holy Spirit led Peter to say these remarkable words to them. Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Acts 3:19. What? Can you imagine their shock? God would be willing to forgive them for rejecting his son Jesus and actually calling for Jesus' death? God would even be willing to bring them times of refreshing through resurrected Jesus? How could that possibly happen? What might it be like? Here's a more personal question for you and me today on this first day of May. Are you and I living in times of refreshing that have been given to us by the resurrected, ascended King Jesus, our Savior and Lord? May I give you three specific examples of the times of refreshing Jesus wants us to bask in. First, forgiveness. Do you regularly thank Jesus that his suffering and death paid your sin price so God the Father can extend full forgiveness to you every time you sin, confess, and repent? Oh my, have you discovered the sweet, wonderful times of refreshing found in living forgiven? Second, adopted by God. Do you regularly thank Almighty Holy God the Father for his adopting you as his son or daughter as you trusted Jesus to be your Savior? Do you rejoice in these glorious realities of your adoption by God? You have a glorious inheritance awaiting for you in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1. You have unlimited access to your Heavenly Father anytime, day or night. Hebrews chapter 10. You cannot imagine the unconditional love the Father has for you. 1 John chapter 4. And third, Spirit-filled. Do you celebrate that the Holy Spirit of God lives vibrantly, joyfully in you as he did in Jesus? God's Spirit loves guiding you, John chapter 16, and teaching you, Psalm 86, and renewing your mind, Romans chapter 12, and protecting you, Ephesians chapter 6, and much, much more, Colossians chapter 1. Oh my! So many wonderful things to think about today as we consider the privilege we have of living in God-given times of refreshing. And I'll be here again over the weekend waiting for you.